welcome to just a special installment today of a two-part this week and next week as we approach Christmas Day, most wonderful day of the year that we celebrate not just on December the 25th, but all year long in the hearts of believers who have accepted Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to save the world. Aren't you thankful for Jesus, everybody? Come on, let's just thank God for Jesus again. As I welcome us into this, these two installments here today, as we get into this series, let me just also welcome those who are joining us online. We are so glad to have you as part of our church, our online campus. Come on, give it up for all those that join us oftentimes weekly in various places. I'm so glad that you're here along for the ride. Today we have, during your worship guide, we have some blank message notes. We don't have to fill in the blank today, but so we have a bunch of blanks. So I encourage you to take notes and write some things down. And if you take notes, write things down. If you don't take notes, write some things down, as you can retain and remember things as we as you write things down. Let me just pause right here before we jump into this. Again, I want to just drive this home that tonight is our community candlelight service, and I want to underline the word community. So I want to encourage you to invite the community. Today you have an opportunity. It's not too late. So I would encourage you to invite those that you work with. Maybe you know somebody at work that you could text. Don't wait because you'll forget. I don't mind if you do it right now. That's okay. Go ahead and text them and say, hey, we're having a candlelight service tonight. Come be my guest. Love to have you come and join us. It's going to begin at 6 o'clock tonight, 5:30. We're going to begin with some, I think we got hot apple cider planned and maybe some hot chocolate. I know some Christmas cookies. We got some special things. It's going to be a beautiful event. We'll have luminaries out on the sidewalk as you approach. It's just be a wonderful time to come together and just remember and pause and reflect on what the Christmas season is truly all about. So I want to encourage you, invite. Everybody say invite. Say it again. Come on, one more time. Everybody got it? Okay, invite people today to come, family members, your neighbors, and be a part of this special event tonight. You do not want to miss it. We'll respect your time. We'll hold to 1 hour. We won't exceed 1 hour of your time from 6 to 7. They could still do Christmas shopping after that. Our stores open on Sundays after 6 o'clock during the Christmas season? I don't know. But still have time with your family. Be a part of that. And so we're going to sing, we're going to have some things, special things tonight. Some of that is going to include some traditional Christmas songs. We'll have some newer songs, but also have our traditional Christmas songs. It'll be a time just to have some sing-along kind of fashion of Christmas songs. As we talk about Christmas songs, you know, when you look at some of these songs, and you really, we've sung many of them by memory. We've learned these songs, and we sing them every year. But we oftentimes don't pause and think about these songs, because sometimes the lyrics are a little bit strange. I mean, for instance, including this one that says, it talks about round yon virgin. What's a round yon virgin? Does anybody know? I don't know what yon means anyway. Round yon virgin. And then we have the one that says, do you hear what I hear? And do you hear what I hear? Remember that one? And then it has said, the little lamb to the shepherd boy. The little lamb says to the little shepherd boy. The shepherd boy's been by himself too long out in the field. He's losing it. Anyway, the lamb's talking to the boy. Somebody needs therapy or something. Anyway, and then there's a child, this one. A child shivers in the cold. Let us bring him silver and gold, right? It's Tim Hawkins. Everybody know the comedian Tim Hawkins says, if he's shivering and he's cold, he doesn't need silver and gold. He needs a blanket. You know, he needs a pot of hot soup. He's catching cold. So, you know, and then we sing this song, Silent Night. And as we do the candlelight service tonight, we traditionally like to sing that song, Silent Night. And the words of that are, all is calm, all is bright. Again, round young virgin, mother and child. But the really, I just want to share with you that I don't think that's actually correct. Because it says that all is calm, all is bright. I don't really think that's an accurate account of that particular night. In fact, I believe that Jesus came in the midst of not calm, but much turmoil. And we just don't realize there was a lot of things there that could have caused any normal person a lot of stress. We know how that Mary and Joseph came into Bethlehem. There was no room in the inn. We know that. They had to find an alternate place for this baby to be born. Scholars say that Mary was just a young teenager. It could range from age 13 to age 17. In those days, it would be have been an arranged marriage. And so most scholars say that Joseph was probably at least 30 years of age. Now here's a 13, 17-year-old marrying a 30-year-old, whom she may have not known that well because it was an arranged marriage. So I'm not sure that love had anything to do with it. Maybe it did. We don't know. But and also, the guy would need to be financially secure and that he can provide for them, so for the woman, so probably at least 30 years of age. Joseph was older, most scholars again say. And we know, in fact, he was older than Mary, that he died earlier, because when Jesus was on the cross, he referred to John to take care of our mother. In other words, take care of her, as if Joseph was no longer around. So thoughts are that when Jesus was on the cross, that Joseph had already deceased. So here's Mary. She's not married. She's pregnant. And here she is, again, not married and pregnant. And in that culture, there is that scenario, you're very ostracized by your family. So there's this aspect of rejection. So you could imagine what this teenager, this young teenager, was going through at that time. She was engaged to this guy who she probably didn't know that well. And she goes and then she tells people that she's pregnant. And she says, the Holy Spirit did it. And they're saying, yeah, right. Yeah, that's not how this thing works. And some of us may have done the same thing. We might have said, okay, that's fine. You go home and tell your story. On top of that, they were traveling. They were going to pay taxes. And so this story is really filled with all kind of heartache and desperate situations. I'm going to pick it up in Luke chapter 2, where the scripture says that while they were there, here they were going, and they got there, listen, on a donkey, okay? I just want you to get a full picture of this. She's 9 months, pregnant. She's on the donkey. Ladies, are you out there? I'm just saying. Okay, and she's having physical pain. And it says that while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger. Now, in our nativity scenes, we see this nice manger made out of wood, but actually the manger was a feeding trough. So think about it. A place where just minutes ago the face of pigs, goats, cows, horses had just been, and there's not a single mom in here that would want to put your newborn baby in that. Right? Come on, y'all. Y'all have to see this humor a little bit in this story. I know we look at the sentimentality of Christmas and all, but when you really break it down and open this up and see what the situation was there. And it says that they were placed him there because she had to, because there was no room in the inn. What I'm trying to describe to you is that even though we sing it as Silent Night, All is Calm, All is Bright, what a beautiful night it was. Well, look at that beautiful nativity scene. That's not accurate. It's just simply not accurate. The fact is, that whole season, the whole circumstances surrounding this night, Jesus was born in a time that was filled with much turmoil. And the question is, Why? And I just want to present to you today that there's nothing that God does that is by accident. God does nothing by accident. This is all intentional because he wanted to send his son, his one and only son, basically the one that could come and relate to mankind in the worst possible scenario, and he could relate to you on every level. So it wasn't just at his birth, but it's from his birth all the way through his life, even to the time of being crucified. He was crucified at the time when capital punishment was not being electrocuted or not being given a drug. It was actually horrendous, horrible conditions where he came to demonstrate to us his love. I believe God wants to show us that no matter what we go through, Jesus has already been through it. Everything that we experience in life, Jesus has already experienced it. Every struggle that you'll ever face, Jesus has already experienced that for you. On every level, he was tempted in every area that you're tempted. But yet he, without sin, came to be the perfect sacrifice for us. God was demonstrating his love to us. I just think it's beautiful. So we look at this. We see that he is the one that God wants us to run to because he understands what we're going through. So it's not just God up in heaven who sees you in this wretched situation and he's saying, good luck. No, he's a God who comes and says, I understand. In fact, when Jesus came, God was no longer far removed, some a deity way up in the atmosphere, but now he was described and people called him Emmanuel because he was God with us. He was going to go through it with everything that we went through. He was going to go through that with us. The Bible says that we have not a high priest that cannot be touched. In other words, he's touched by everything that touches you. And I just think it's comforting to know that if you have problems and you feel ostracized and humiliated and rejected or embarrassed, he understands that. He experienced that as well. So I want to take this scenario of Silent Night and how do we get in there, and how do we get this peace, though, that's described of Jesus coming and bringing to us this peace. Now, you'll see a lot of things about peace during the season. You'll see it on Christmas cards, and you'll see the phrase peace on earth. It shows up also only once in Scripture. Now, that's found in Luke chapter 12, verse 51, that says, Jesus said, do you think I've come to bring peace on earth? That's the only place you see the word peace on earth described. And Jesus says, do you think I've come to bring peace? Now, we say, well, of course, because it's peace. That's what we sing about. That's what we talk about. Jesus brings peace on earth. But he actually answers that and says, no, I tell you, but division. So put that on your Christmas card, that on your refrigerator, Jesus comes to bring division. That's what he says. But I want to explain this. The concept of peace on earth doesn't even exist. I want to tell you that why in just a moment. But the truth is that is the reality. The song got it wrong, but the verse got it right. The truth is there's very few of us who would look at this earth and say that there is peace on it. In fact, in the last 3,500 years, there's only been 286 years of peace when there's no wars on earth. In fact, right now, men and women in our armed forces are in different places around this world protecting peace and trying to keep peace. And can I just give a shout out right now to those that serve in our military? I'm so thankful for them. As many of you are watching online, we're so grateful for you and your service. Those that are serving and those who have served, we appreciate you so much. But there's very little promise of peace on earth. John 16 and 33, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me, now notice this. This is where we start understanding this idea of peace. He says, so that in me you may have peace. Notice he said, it's in me that you have peace. But then he clarifies and says, in this world you will have trouble. So in me you'll have peace, but in this world you'll have trouble. But take heart, I've overcome the world. So the world doesn't bring you peace. But Jesus does bring us peace. So what are we talking about with this idea of peace on earth? I want to identify this morning some things that steal our peace. And today and next week, I want us to look at this concept of peace and also what peace then, there's another gift God gives us. We'll talk about that next week. But I want to figure out from God's word, really, how do we find it then? I know he wants us to have it, right? And I want to see a power word and some statements here. Write these down. Number one, write this down. Unavoidable circumstances. These are things that rob us of our peace. Unavoidable circumstances. It's things you didn't create. It's just the kind of things that happen to you. It's things that you can't secure and can't lock your arms around and you can't bring, put your life under safety, make sure everything's going to happen just perfect. It's uncontrollable circumstances. Just a couple of weeks ago, I heard of a story of someone that I know, I've known for many years, who has two boys, about the age of my kids, my two boys. But the news came at 6 o'clock in the morning and the highway patrol, state trooper comes up the sidewalk, knocks on the door to explain that their son had lost his life in a tragic car accident just outside of Asheville. It's things that you can't control, you didn't plan on, the youngest son taken from you. Kim and I went and visited the family. And I see the family as they're getting in the car sometime after that when they're going to the visitation for the funeral. And their son, who's in the military, comes home and joins them. And he's getting in the back seat instead of two boys getting in the back seat. The parents are getting in the front seat. And the boy is carrying a big mural of his brother getting in the back seat. That's all he's got now. You know? Uncontrollable circumstances. What do you do when these things happen? Jeremiah chapter 4 verse 20 says, disaster follows disaster. The whole land lies in ruin. In an instant, my tents are destroyed, my shelter in a moment. And it happens, and yet we feel helpless and hopeless, but all is not hopeless. Can I just encourage you today? There's another thing that robs us of our peace, and that's unbearable people. Write that one down. Unbearable people. I mean, let's just say people that are mean. Anybody know any mean people? Anybody encountered any mean people? I don't think y'all go out and shop anymore in the stores and encounter mean people. I think you just sit at home and do it all online. Trust me. I'm a bivocational pastor. I deliver the mail / parcels. Enough said. Okay, I'm just saying. But there's mean people who you pull up in their parking space, you get out, you go in, they thought they had that space, you took the space, they come out, they slice your tires. Happened to my wife, Kim. Literally happened, you know? I mean, mean people. Psalm 109 says, with words of hatred, they surround me. They attack me without cause. Unbearable people. Then there's another thing that robs us of our peace. Number three, unexplainable problems. And oftentimes we just want answers. We hear the word cancer. We hear the word remission. And then next thing we know, it's return. Unexplainable problems. And I don't know all the whys, and I don't have all the answers. And if I had all the answers, I wouldn't need God. But thankfully, there's a God that we have that when we don't have answers, one song says, when answers aren't enough, there's Jesus. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? You know, sometimes life doesn't come in pretty packages with pretty little bows sitting underneath the Christmas tree. Sometimes there's just unexplainable things that happen that we deal with. But I take comfort in knowing that one day when we get to heaven, there's going to be some answers. I believe heaven, when we get there, you know, I've heard me say this before, is not just going to be angelic choir singing, hallelujah. I believe it's going to be a big gasp of, oh, now I get it. Now I understand. But these things in this life can rob us. And then another one, let me give you a scripture for that, Matthew 27:46. Even Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Even he, in his moment, had a question. It's okay to question. But know that all answers are found in Jesus. Amen? Number four, uncontrollable worry. All of us have experienced worry. How am I going to get Christmas gifts bought this year? That's my worry. I don't know. How am I going to get it all done? How am I going to pay for this? Worry can be crippling, and it will flat out debilitate you. So much so that you can't even enjoy the season, can't enjoy your family, can't enjoy life, can't enjoy the experience where you're in now. You're worrying about the next step, where you're going to get to next. You're in college and you're studying, but you're worrying about the job and worrying about what lies ahead, or worrying about exam or whatever, but you're not experiencing freedom of peace in the midst of that because of great worry. Great worry. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 24 says, "We have heard reports about them, and our hands hang limp. Anguish has gripped us, pain like that of a woman in labor." In other words, it just renders you helpless when you're filled with constant worry. So what do we do? How in the middle of all this are we going to find peace? As we talk about peace on earth, and you may be thinking, no, you're wrong. There is this mention of peace, and because you've all seen the Charlie Brown movie, right, of peace. You know, and when finally Linus comes out and he says, "This is what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown." And he reads this scripture. It's found in Luke chapter 2. It says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger." In King David, you say, swaddling clothes, right? In verse 13, "Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.'" Now, we might have heard it this way: "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill to all men." But if you look at the translation of that, it never says really there's peace on earth. What it really says is, if you look at the original translation of that, it says, "On earth there is peace to whom God favors." One translation puts it this way: "On earth peace to those who have his goodwill." So actually it's the most accurate translation of the original Greek, meaning that there is peace while you're on this earth, and this earth is filled with turmoil, to those who God's favor rests. In other words, where God's presence is, there is peace. Which would beg the question then, how do I get God's favor? Because I need some of that peace. Right? I want to teach you this, of how this can happen. How you can truly experience peace in this Christmas season, and for your life for that matter. So if your expectation is there's going to be peace on earth, you're going to be waiting a long time. But if you expect that there can be peace in you while on this troubled earth, that's available today. Everybody say, that's good news. Come on, that's good news. That's available. So that's available, listen, to those on whom his favor rests. So what we should be working on is not getting peace, but getting favor. So how do I get God on my side? How do I get his favor on my life? And you can read hundreds of verses about peace, but you can also look in many of those verses and you'll see that there's two things mentioned. Verses mention how to get peace, and at the same time they say that peace comes because of the favor of God that's on their life. Because, listen, I'm convinced God wants to deliver us and have us delivered from all this anguish and turmoil, and for us truly to experience peace. And I just want to say that's one of the greatest gifts at Christmas, is the gift of peace. The gift of peace. And there's a lot of things that we stack on. And Christmas has gotten the reputation of being a hectic time because of all the things that get compounded on us. It's the end of the month. It's the end of the year. And then you got Christmas on top of that, and all the expectations that come along with that. And sometimes, listen, it seems like it's the culmination of anxiety, because all the things that aren't done, that you didn't get done this year, the goals that you didn't get reached, and all of it seems to come to a climatic moment. And I just think it's beautiful that at that climatic moment of possible, you know, just all this anguish, there is Jesus in the midst of it all, and he comes at that climatic moment to say, I am in the midst of all this. I am the one that brings peace to you in the midst of all this turmoil. Amen? So I want us to look at this. It's a gift. The gift of peace. It's a gift for you. And it's wrapped and ready. It's wrapped in swaddling clothes, right? It's wrapped and ready for you. And here's what Jesus said in John chapter 14 and 27. Write that location down. I am leaving you a gift. This is in the Living Bible. Way Living Bible, friend, paraphrasing. I am leaving you a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give isn't fragile like the peace the world gives. Because you know how the world, they give you something and then something, and then all of a sudden everything changes. You know, your team wins one day and loses the next. You know, it's up and down. So it's not fragile like the peace the world gives. It's not based on circumstance. It's not circumstantial peace. So he says, so don't be troubled or afraid. So it's a peace not like the world has to offer. It's not temporary. It's not drug-induced. It's not alcohol-induced. It's not, you know, you don't have to go to therapy to get peace. Listen, there's a peace of mind that you can have. And I want to help us find that. Now, if you were to go try to Google this today online, and, you know, Google peace of mind, you'll find all kinds of things. It'll bring up funeral home services. That's great, you know. I've got some radio stations that sometimes I listen to during the week, and I don't know, I just like getting these little small towns outside of the big city to listen to, you know, it's just kind of, you know, just down to earth. For the life of me, I don't know why there's so many advertisements of funeral homes and cremation services and on and on and on, but anyway. Or you can Google it, and it'll also bring up a rock group, peace of mind, if you do that, you know, or fragrance and perfume, that'll give you peace. I mean, just watch the commercials. It's taking a whole different dimension. You know, those fragrances they show on TV and everything. In fact, there's one you can, it'll say peace of mind, and it brings up a warranty for a toilet service, okay? So there you go, warranty service for your toilet. So there you go. But God has a gift for you. There's four things in Scripture I want to pass off to you today very quickly. I'm going to dive into this. That you can dive into this, listen, for not only the Christmas season, but also for the rest of your life. And while the world goes crazy, you can have peace in the middle of it. So if you want God's favor that results in peace, the first thing you need to do, write this down, number one, receive God's pardon. Because any one of us that's ever sinned, and by the way, that's every one of us here. If you've ever been involved in sin, if you're trying to keep your sin, unrepentant, habitual sin, you'll know that it's messing you up on the inside. There's no peace. And even if no one knows, it's tearing you up on the inside. Psychologists say it's the greatest source of stress in our life is guilt. Whenever you have guilt going on inside, listen, let me just tell you, Jesus came to relieve that. He came to pardon. Like a governor or a president has the authority to pardon. Can I just tell you, Jesus has the authority to pardon. By the stroke of his pen, he writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He erases your past. Your past is cast into the sea of God's forgetfulness to be remembered against you no more. Far as the east is from the west, the Bible says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Right? Jesus is the one that has the power to pardon your sins. And can I just point this out? Here's some news for you. You'll never be able to pardon yourself. You'll never be able to be good enough to get rid of your own guilt. But with the stroke of his pen, He can take care of it all. And in that moment, he can break loose on the inside, come on, and have this unexplainable peace on the inside of you. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith in him, what he's done, not what we've done, look at this, we have peace. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And some of you need to experience that. It's not about attending a church. It's not about religion. It's about experiencing Jesus, someone with authority to come in and pronounce peace on your life. Number two, run to God's presence. How do you get God's favor in your life and experience his peace? Run to God's presence. You know, some of us just need to pull away from the turmoil, from the hectic pace. I mean, I know you got to go get Christmas shopping done, but you know, when you pull into the parking lot and you've already blown your horn at everybody between your house and the mall, and you know, and you pull in and you're trying to not hit the car beside you, and you wait for people who are walking to get out of your way, you know, and you just, you know, you're there. I mean, take a moment. It'd be worth it. Take 5 minutes. Pause. Worship. That's kind of strange, Pastor. Yeah, it is kind of strange in this world. Take a moment. And pull back. I think the Lord's teaching me more and more every day. Hit the pause button in the midst of it all. Take a breath. When you're rushing, and by the way, haste makes waste. We know that, right? The more harder we work, the worse it gets. You know, and everything's fine. But pause. Remember, there's a King of Glory living inside of you. There is the Prince of Peace living inside of you. He resides there. And what's happening out there has nothing to do with what's happening in here. You could be having a partay on the inside while they're falling apart on the outside. Come on. You can have peace in your life. But pause and reflect and invite his presence into the midst of that. I'm going to read a verse that's found in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. It says, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. One version says, his mind is stayed on you. In other words, my meditation is on you. All this is happening, all the lights, all the tinsel, all the garland, all the holly, all of it is all about Jesus. And Jesus, I just worship you. I'm glad you're getting all this attention, Lord. Right? Worship him. Run to his presence. In his presence, the Bible says, there's fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures evermore. In his presence, walk in his presence. In his presence, there's peace. In his presence, there's joy. In his presence, there's strength. Amen. There's in his presence. Number three, respect God's principles. You see, some of us are violating God's principles. And it may be, you know, hey, you're a Christian. You're going to heaven. You've been forgiven, you've received Jesus, but you're violating the principles of God's word, and it's robbing you of peace. And I believe it's a trend that I challenge in this generation. We're living in a generation that really wants the Bible to be altered to fit the way that we live today. And we say, oh, well, the Bible's 2,000 years ago. It was written a long time ago. It's not relevant to today. And we need to kind of interpret that in the context of where we're living. And sort of we need to change some things about that. No, we don't. The Word of God doesn't need to change. We need to change. The Word of God, the Bible, in fact, Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away. My Word will not pass away. It is relevant to the day in which we live. Come on, I'll be old-fashioned, pick up the Bible, just shake it in your face. I don't mean to be old. But I'm just saying, it is relevant for today. It works. Listen, his word doesn't need proof, it needs practice. Practice his word and it will produce peace in your life. His word is everything. It will produce peace. It actually does work. Psalm 119, 165 says, great peace have they who love your law and nothing can make them stumble. So when the world is having an earthquake out here, you're just solid as a rock. I'm not stumbling. I'm not falling because my hope is not in that stuff. My hope is not in riches. We covered that last series. My hope is not in those things, financial. No, my hope is in Jesus Christ. He is my salvation. He is my, listen, he's my forever. This life is a vapor and a mist, but he's forever. Amen. Our relationship we have with him. He's our peace. So great peace he has available when we follow the principles of his word. I want to encourage you, read your Bible and obey it and live it out and trust it. And I don't care how crazy it may seem at times that it doesn't make sense. Let me tell you, God's word works in our life. Number four, rely on God's provision. Rely on God's provision. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, in the Living Bible paraphrases it this way. It says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That's pretty good, isn't it? Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank him for his answers. If you do this, as if that's just a challenge, if you do this, or just try it, you can do this. You're capable of doing it. Let me go back to verse 6 again. Verse 6. So don't worry about anything. Pray about, I know, that's easier said than done. But you don't have to live there. You don't have to camp out there in the worries. Worries may come and go. I get that. But do something with that. Pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget then to thank him for the answers, right? Be careful to thank him. And then if you'll do that, you'll take us up on this offer. Anybody want peace? If you'll do that, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind can understand. You can have houses, you can have cars, you can have the wife and the dog and the kids and everything that goes along with it, throwing a cat. That's okay. I don't know. You can have all of that, but you can still not have peace. None of that will produce peace. The only one that can produce peace is the person of Jesus Christ. Only him. Only he. So this verse is saying, don't worry, pray, and thank him. So we're going to run to God with everything we've got. We're going to walk in his presence. We're going to rely upon his provision. By the way, you do know he's the source, don't you? He's the source. In fact, the Bible says, earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything you see, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. It's all Jesus. Everything you have is Jesus. He's the source of it all. He's the source of life. So why go to the things around us thinking that's the source? I could just get this and get her or get him and get that and get here and get there. Then I'm going to produce. No. The Bible says something very profound. Jesus said it in Matthew 6:33. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added into you. All these other things are just going to come along for the ride. My main focus is Jesus. How's my relationship with Jesus? And let me think, let's close all in on this. None of this other stuff will work. It will not come together. The puzzle will not fit. None of this will work. All the Christmas trimmings and everything around Christmas, none of it's going to work or come together or make any sense until you've got the centerpiece of the manger scene, and it's Jesus Christ. It's him. And when you've got him at the center of it all, come on, all the spokes of the wheel, everything else will revolve right. The world will be right. It'll be right. It'll be right. And yes, there'll be turmoil around, but in the midst of it, in the eye of the storm, there's Jesus. There's peace. There's his presence. There's his provision. Come on. There's a Lord that loves us, that's with us, and his strength is there. And then he's God Emmanuel. Come on, everybody. Aren't you thankful for Jesus today? Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Come on, bow your head with me for just a moment. You may be watching online, or you may be here in this building today, but you're saying within your heart, I don't have that peace. There's something. I keep trying to find that little missing something. There's something else I need. And I'm not complete. I'm not satisfied. I'm not fulfilled. I'm, There's still something lacking. Can I just offer you this person named Jesus today? And again, it may be you're a Christian. It may be that, or at least you once were, or maybe you're not where you should be, but somehow other things have come in and eroded your peace. Maybe worry you talk about it. Or just things have crept in that you didn't intend to happen, but somehow now you're filled with shame and guilt, and you know you're not where you should be. And so, listen, the way you have peace is to have peace with God. Anybody like that today? Here's what I like to do. I like to offer this gift of peace through Jesus Christ. And it can be received by putting your faith in Him and allowing Him to come in once again, take His rightful place as the center of your heart. I want to lead you in a prayer. If you're here today and you need to pray that kind of prayer, whether you're coming for the first time or you're coming back or you're just renewing or you're committing or there's some area in your life that needs to surrender, I want to lead you in this prayer. If you're watching online, I invite you to join us as well. But if you're here in this building, if that's you, say, Pastor, I need that prayer. I need to pray that prayer. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to help you with the words. All you got to do is mean it. But if that's you, would you just quickly let me know who I'm agreeing with? Slip up your hand very quickly and put it right back down. Just in some way that Pastor, I'm saying, yes, yes, yes. Good job. Yes. Join us online. You can email us. You can respond there. You can let us know. Or join us. Can I just get everybody to pray this out loud? Support. Come on, just pray this prayer from your heart. Mean it. God, thank you for sending your son Jesus so that I can have life and experience your peace. Jesus, I give you my heart. I invite you to come in. Be the Lord of every area. Be first place. I give you my life. Thank you for dying for me so I can live for you. Now by faith I receive you. And with all my heart, I will follow you. I will put you first. God, help me to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Every person who prayed that prayer, needed to pray it, prayed it, by faith they've received you. They've accepted you. They've declared you now as Lord by receiving you by faith. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, God, for changed life, for changed hearts. And I pray right now, God, may we experience your peace as we follow you, as we apply your word to our life, as we walk and put you first in our life. Lord, may we experience your peace that passes all understanding. Lord, I pray as we as a church walk through the season, may God, we not only experience your peace, God, may your peace, God, be experienced by those around us. May they recognize the peace of Jesus, and may we have an opportunity to share this peace. We'll give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen.